This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 6th chapter, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul here makes some pretty broad statements. For Paul here declares, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Then in the 10th chapter, 23rd verse, Paul declares, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now, when God created you, God had in mind fellowship with you. That is the purpose for our existence. God created man because God desired meaningful fellowship with man. God yearns that you might fellowship with him. He longs to have a meaningful relationship with you. That's why he created you. In order that your relationship and fellowship with God might be meaningful, God gave to you the capacity of choice. Otherwise, God could have created just a bunch of robots. But he could not develop a meaningful relationship with a robot because their responses would all be controlled and automatic. And so God created you with a free will, the capacity of choice, in order that you might choose to walk with him and thus your walk becomes meaningful. You see, I can choose to fellowship with God or not to fellowship with God. I can choose to have a relationship with God or not to have a relationship with God. Now, in order that this choice might indeed be meaningful, it was necessary that God give a very attractive alternative. What is the choice if the alternative isn't attractive? So I can choose to live after my flesh, which is very attractive, or I can choose to live after the Spirit. But the alternative is a very powerful and an attractive force. Now, if I would say, what would you like for dinner tonight? Prime rib steak or a New York prime rib or New York steak? You say, well, I don't know. That's, you know, good choice. I'm not sure. You see, you've got a great alternative here. If you don't want the prime rib, you're going to have a New York steak. But if I say, what would you like for dinner tonight, prime rib or dried kelp? Well, I'll go for the prime rib, please. You see, the alternative isn't very attractive. Thus, it really doesn't take much of a choice for me to say prime rib when the alternative is dried kelp. Thus, the alternative that man has is a very attractive, desirable alternative. The living after the flesh. And thus, it is a strong, meaningful choice for me to choose to live in fellowship with God and to walk after the Spirit. Also, in order that the choice be meaningful, God must honor and respect the choices that I make. Otherwise, it isn't a choice. If I say, this afternoon, would you like to take a drive up to Los Angeles and go to the zoo at Griffith Park, or would you rather drive down to San Diego and go to the Balboa Park Zoo? You say, oh, I think I'd like to see the Griffith Park Zoo this afternoon. And I say, all right, we're heading for San Diego. Wait a minute. I said Griffith Park. Yeah, but I want to go to San Diego. Well, I did not really give you a choice in a true sense, because I did not respect the choice that you made. So God must respect the choices that I make in order that my choice indeed be meaningful. And because God wanted a meaningful relationship with me, He first of all created me with the capacity of choice, and then He made a very attractive alternative, and then He honors the choice that I make. So that when I choose to walk with God, when I choose to fellowship with Him and to have this deep relationship with Him, God knows that it is a choice that I have made from my heart, and it's meaningful, and thus I enter into what God has desired, this meaningful relationship with me. Now, the fact that God has given to me the power of choice and respects my choice places upon me the awesome responsibility of making correct choices. You see, I can choose to live after the Spirit, or I can choose to live after my flesh. I can choose to believe a lie, or I can choose to believe the truth. I can choose to live a life of freedom, or I can choose to live a life of slavery. For you see, when I choose to live after the Spirit and live a life of fellowship with God, I continue to maintain this capacity of choice. I am still free. In fact, the child of God is one of the most liberated persons in all of the world. Paul expressed that total liberty: all things are lawful for me. I am the most liberated person in the world as a child of God. I have the freedom of choice. I maintain that freedom of choice. But it is possible for me to exercise that choice in such a way as to bring myself into slavery where I no longer have the freedom of choice. And that's what happens when a person chooses to live after the flesh. They soon become bound by their flesh, by habits or whatever, and the minute you have to do something, I just have to, then you're not really free anymore. But you are being controlled by whatever it is that you have to do. That now has mastered over you, and you no longer are in full control of your life, but you are now living a life of bondage or slavery. And thus, I have the capacity of choice, but with it the awesome responsibilities of making wise choices so that I don't use the choice to destroy my capacity of choice, which is exactly what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. God allowed there to be a very strong alternative that appealed to the flesh. It was beautiful to look at. It was delicious to eat, and it was desired to make him wise as God. It was a very attractive alternative. Adam chose the alternative, listening to the lie of Satan rather than the truth of God. And the result is that Adam then lost his capacity of choice and became a slave to Satan. No longer did he have free choice, but has now become a slave to his own flesh. Power of darkness. And so I have to be careful how I exercise my freedom of choice so as not to lose the freedom of choice. The city of Corinth was the center of Greek philosophy and culture in that day. And the philosophers were always seeking the true ethic to live by. What is right? What is wrong? What is good? What is evil? And they were, each philosophy espoused its own ethic. The Epicurean philosophy declared, if it brings you pleasure, it's good. Whatever pleases. And they got to the place of seeking to measure the intensity of pleasure that you receive from a particular experience. The other philosopher said, no, if it's got the power on its side, it's right. Might is right. And that was their ethic for what was right. The Epicurean said, if it brings pleasure, it's right. If it's strong, it's right. If it's the strongest, it's right. Now, Paul comes along with an ethic that is so broad that it's almost inconceivable to the philosopher. For Paul said, all things are lawful for me. Now, that is total freedom. When I can say all things are lawful for me, I am a totally liberated individual. There is no philosophic ethic that is as broad as the Christian ethic that can declare all things are lawful for me. Paul, in writing to the Romans, declared, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul, also writing to the Romans, declared, for where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Again, in that same epistle, Paul said, happy is the man whose heart does not condemn him in the things that he allows. An extremely broad ethic. But that's only half the truth. And you know, a half truth can be the worst kind of a lie. If you take a half truth and run with it, you can run right into hell. The truth is, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, if you're not in Christ walking after the Spirit, yes, there is condemnation. But just to say, well, there's no condemnation, is wrong, half true, dangerous. Now, Paul declared, all things are lawful for me, but that's only half of it. He went on to say, all things are not expedient. You see, as a Christian, I am a very goal-oriented person. The ultimate goal of my life is to stand before Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and have him look at me and say, well done. You've been a good and a faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now that's the bottom line of my life. That's my goal. That's what I live for. I want to live completely the way that he would have me to live. I want my life to please him. At the end of the road, I want to receive his approval. I want him to say, good job, Chuck. You've been a good servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, there are some things that I can do that won't condemn my soul to hell. but would impede my progress towards my desired goal. I could get caught up in them. I could get carried away by them, so that I would not really be pressing towards that primary goal of my life. But I could get so caught up in them that I'm, you know, busy doing these things and things that would bring pleasure or whatever to myself and hinder me in my movement towards my desired goal. So though it's all right to do them, it's lawful for me to do them, it's not going to damn me, yet I don't do them because they would be an impediment in my path towards my goal. I want to do only those things that would expedite my movement towards my goal to be fully approved by Him in that day. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This is the warning, really, against those things that have a tendency or capacity to bring you under their power, because the moment you come under their power, you are no longer free. You have used your choice in a foolish way, and it has brought you into bondage. You see, all things are lawful for me. I can drink anything I want as much as I want. All things are lawful for me. And I can drink if I want to, whatever I want and as much as I want. However, the moment my mind comes under the influence of that alcohol, I am no longer free. I am no longer thinking clearly and rationally. My judgment has been impaired. And I've now come under the power or the influence of some other agency, and thus no longer free. And to continue in that kind of liberty of saying, well, I can do it, you know, it's lawful for me, to continue in it could bring me into alcoholism, in which I would be totally bound, a total slave, and no longer free at all. So that would be a foolish exercise of my freedom in declaring all things are lawful for me. Now, this is not true of just alcohol, but of other substances that have inherent in their characteristics bringing me under their influence or control. Because the moment I come under their influence, I am no longer free. From the time that I was a child, I have enjoyed this glorious freedom in Jesus Christ. And I've always sought to protect myself against any kind of a habit or a habit-forming situation. For the moment you get into a habit-forming situation, you are no longer free. When I was a kid, Dr. Pepper used to advertise 10, 2, and 4. You know, have a Dr. Pepper at 10, have one at 2, have one at 4. And they used to advertise, you know, how it satisfies at 10, 2, and 4. And many people were getting Dr. Pepper habits. 10 o'clock, must be 10 o'clock. Man, I need a Dr. Pepper, you know. And because of that, I would never drink a Dr. Pepper when I was a kid, because I didn't want to get bound at 10 o'clock to have a Dr. Pepper to keep me going through the morning. Careful not to do those things that can get such a hold on me that I have to do them. Because the moment I have to, I am no longer free. and I cherish my freedom so highly that though it is lawful for me, if it brings me under its power, then I want nothing to do with it because I cherish the freedom that I have. The moment I am under its power, I can no longer say all things are lawful for me. I'm now bound by this. It now is controlling me. I'm no longer in control of my life. So, though all things are lawful for me, Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. A second good guide to limit my liberties. We've made a mistake in the Christian body and in the church in trying to define for people what is right and what is wrong for us to do as Christians. So as a Christian, is it wrong for me to go to the show? Is it wrong for me to go to the dance? Is it wrong for me to go to the skating rink? Is it wrong for me to do this, that, and the other? And we've always tried to say, well, this is right to do, this is wrong to do, and make the line between right and wrong. No, you may be able to prove that it is all right. There's nothing wrong with it. But yet, is it expediting you towards your goal? Is it bringing you under its power? Then, though you may be able to prove that it's not wrong, in a sense, it's foolish. Because now you're no longer free the moment you come under its power. Finally, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You see, again, I am interested in building this relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are things that I can do that enhance and build my relationship with Him. The time I spend learning about Him in His Word builds my relationship with Him. The time I spend with Him, just sitting down and talking with Him and opening up my heart and asking for His advice and His counsel in the issues of my life. These times that we share together are times in which my relationship with Him is being built up. The times when we gather together and we share with one another our experiences and our own relationships, they have a tendency of building up my relationship with Him. But even as there are things that can build up my relationship with Him, there are things that can tear down my relationship with Him. They have a tendency of alienating me from Him or driving me further from Him. I want only those things that will draw me to Him. I don't want those things that would drive me away from Him. And though it might be all right to do, though it is lawful, and I could do it, I won't do it because it doesn't build up my relationship with Him. And that's the primary goal of my life. Building up this relationship until I one day stand before Him and hear His words, well done. So, though all things are lawful for me, I have this glorious liberty in Christ, and there is no condemnation because I am in Christ, yet it is wise for me to use good judgment in those things which I do and those things which I don't allow myself to do in order that I might continue pressing towards this goal. The writer to the book of Hebrews talks about laying aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. You see, it used to be when they trained for the Olympics, they would tie weights on their bodies. And then they would run all weighted down with these weights tied to their feet and tied to their arms and all. And they trained with all of these weights tied to them. But when the time came to run the race, they laid aside every weight. They stripped down. And they would run naked in the Olympics in order that they might not be impeded by any extra weight. There are things that can impede you, weight you down, and keep you from being your best for the Lord. Oh, it might be all right to do, but it isn't wise to do. It might be lawful for you to do them, but it isn't wise for you to do them. Now, Paul the Apostle, who declared, "All things are lawful for me," also declared, "For to me to live is Christ." That's why he could say, "All things are lawful for me." Only the man who can say, "For to me to live is Christ," can say, "All things are lawful for me." You see, you've got to have a Christ-centered life to have total freedom. And because my life is Christ-centered, I have a total freedom to do anything I want. All things are lawful for me. But because my life is Christ-centered, I will not do those things that are not expedient. I will not do those things that would bring me under their power, nor will I do those things that would tear down my relationship with Him. So I stay free. And today I'm one of the freest persons in the world because all things are lawful for me. But I have enough sense not to do them. In the same token, I'm also the richest man in the world. Not because I have more than anybody else, but because I'm happy with what I've got. I'm content. And the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. There are many, many, many people that have much more than I have, as far as material things. But they're not nearly as rich as I am, because they're not satisfied. They're still having to grope for more, where I'm content with what I have. And thus I'm rich. My life is centered in Christ. Thus I am free. I can do whatever I want. And I do whatever I want, because I want to please Him. And I do those things that will please Him. Yes, liberty, total liberty. But the wise person will put limitations on that liberty, in order that he might stay free. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this glorious freedom that we experience in Jesus Christ. Freedom from the power and bondage of sin. Free from the hold that Satan holds over people. Free from the power of the flesh that has enslaved so many. Lord, how good it is, how good it is to be free. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we thank you, Jesus, for setting us free from the shackles and the bondage of corruption and of sin and of the flesh, that we might live for you and serve you, Lord, in this glorious new relationship, and to experience your love, your power, your goodness. Oh, Lord, we praise you for your wonderful works and for your goodness unto us. May we walk in thy truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that the Lord might be with you this week, strengthening you, blessing you, guiding you, and may you progress as you press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And may God grant unto you that complete freedom of the children of God. If there is an area in your life where you have been bound by the flesh, power of the flesh seems to rule, I pray that God, by His Spirit, might set you free and that you might experience that help of the Lord as He seeks to draw you into a deeper relationship with Himself, a life totally pleasing unto Him. So God be with you and strengthen you in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ.